May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Well, thank you, Derek, for reading that so well. It came across wonderfully clearly. And our reading told us about the miraculous healing from leprosy of Naaman, a Syrian army commander. However, this morning, we're not going actually to be thinking about Naaman, but rather we're going to be thinking about an amazing and remarkable little girl whose witness led not only to his healing, but also to him turning from the worship of idols to the worship of Israel's God, for which he would be eternally grateful. Although she lived 850 years before Jesus, she provides us with a great example of what it really means to live the Christian life. And her witness was not just the witness of her words, but it was the witness of her whole life. When I was young, we used to have Sunday school both morning and afternoon. We were quite keen in those days. And in the morning, the children would be in church for the first part of the service, and then they'd go home because they had Sunday school before the service. And the first part of the service would include a short children's address. Now, people often commented that they got more out of the children's address than they did out of the sermon. So today I'm going to put the two together, and hopefully we'll get the best of both worlds. So we're going to begin with a children's address, which takes the form of a brief video. Please watch it very carefully, because around this hinges the rest of what I have to say. In it, Naaman's little maid brilliantly demonstrates the attitudes and characteristics of the Christian life that the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to grow within each one of us. So, over to Ross. We'll see how the video goes.
My time is short.
Do not speak of such things.
I have led tens of thousands of men to victory in countless battles for Syria. Yet with all my wealth and power, I can do nothing against an unseen enemy that does this. So that I cannot even touch the ones I love.
I wish there was something we could do.
Maybe there is.
If only my master were with the prophet who lives in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.
What? Child.
What have you said to startle my wife?
She says there is a prophet among her people who can heal leprosy.
My soldiers raided your land and took you from your people. Yet when I watch you, I'm impressed at how you serve me in the face of all that has happened to you. But do not speak to me of prophets and cures in Samaria unless you know, without a doubt, that these things are real.
My God is real.
Our God is real, isn't he? He is. I'm just going to reread to you the verses from 2 Kings 5, verses 2 and 3, because they're so important. The Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Amazing words. In the video and in that reading, the little girl demonstrates four hallmarks that I want us to think about this morning. Four hallmarks of the Christian life. Wait a minute. All right. Sorry. Yep. Okay. Got it. Right. One, we've got fortitude. Two, forgiveness. Three, faith. And then I wanted to make four F's, so I cheated a little bit. Finally, compassion and love. So we're going to deal with those in turn. One, she showed great fortitude. Naaman said in the video what is implicit in the reading. My soldiers raided your land and took you from your people. Now, for a little girl, that must have been a totally devastating experience. Can you imagine how she felt? Can you imagine how you would have felt if it had happened to you as a child? We're not told how old she was, but we can reasonably imagine that she was around 10 years old. For a child so young, it must have been a pretty traumatic experience. One dreadful day, a Syrian raiding party had come along and completely destroyed all that she had and held dear. Prior to that awful day, she'd probably been living at home with mum and dad, and possibly with brothers and sisters. In all likelihood, she would have been handled very roughly. She'd lost her home, probably most of her family and friends, and was taken away to forced labor in a foreign land. Now, I don't know everybody here, but I doubt if there are any of us here who've had to endure such a horrific experience. The only ameliorating factor appears to be that she was taken into service in an affluent household where her mistress seems to have shown her some kindness. But still the hurt would have been there. I wonder how often she cried herself to sleep as she cried out to the Lord. Although it's not stated outright, in the scripture her fortitude is implicit. And the video quite rightly picks up on it. The dictionary defines fortitude as showing courage in the face of pain and adversity. And she knew that. And Naaman acknowledged her fortitude. When I watch you, he said in the video, if you remember. When I watch you, he said, I am impressed with how you serve me in the face of all that has happened to you. I've no doubt there are several here who know what it's like to go through traumatic experiences. And perhaps there is someone here, even now, who is going through a very difficult time. I don't know how your experience may relate to what this little girl went through. but I think it would be difficult to find a worse one. But it is not a storm or the nature of the storm, whether it's an actual storm such as crossing the Cook Strait in a 4-7 gale or being in severe turbulence at 30,000 feet, or a serious health issue, or a relationship breakdown, etc., that matters. It's how we handle it that reveals where our sense of security lies. Fortitude is a true Christian virtue based on faith in God. It is a God-given assurance deep in our hearts that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we know that God is our refuge and that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. Now, I was talking to somebody, a friend, earlier this week, and they had they told me they'd had cancer some years ago, and they'd been operated on, and apparently it had been successfully cured. And now they've just got some signs that maybe it's metastasized and it's returned. But that person is a Christian. And they said to me, "Oh, I'm completely at peace. I know I'm in God's hand and in his care." That is fortitude. And that is the courage in the face of adversity and pain. And that's a Christian virtue, knowing God cares. So secondly, our little maid showed great forgiveness. She'd been through and was still living in the midst of a very traumatic experience. She could so easily have looked at Naaman and said to herself, "I see Naaman's got leprosy. That's great. That'll be God's judgment on him for what he's done to me and to my family. I hope he rots and dies in an agonizingly slow death, and may his family rot with him as well." But she didn't. She clearly dealt with any bitterness that she could justifiably have felt. But to the contrary, her actions showed that she had forgiven her captors. Forgiveness is a true Christian virtue. And this little girl displayed that wonderfully. People will upset us, but as Christians, we must forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to forgive. And Paul in Ephesians, Ephesians said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." That's Ephesians 4:31. And despite the fact that she had lived around 900 years before Paul wrote that, our little maid seems to have worked it out and shown true forgiveness in her heart. So thirdly, we come to the third Christian virtue she displayed, which is faith. Again, I think the video picked up on this pretty well when it said what is implicit in the scripture: she had a living faith in the living God. When in the video Naaman challenged her about the validity of her faith, she had the assurance to say, "My God is real." And he is, isn't he? So where did the faith come from? In the chapters surrounding 2 Kings chapter 5, we're told that there were at that time what is termed the sons of the prophets. If you remember last week, Ross referred to a lady who's the widow of one of the sons of the prophets. And they appear to have been disciples of the prophets like Elijah and Elisha. The little girl was certainly aware of Elisha and his work, and that he was a great man. So she must have known him. I suspect that she was the daughter of one of the sons of the prophets. And Elisha may even have been a family friend. It seems likely, therefore, that she had learned her faith from her parents, and that in the traumatic experience that she had gone through, her faith held her fast, and it became not just her parents' faith, but her own faith. In Romans 10 and 17, we read, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The question then is, how and in what form had she learned the word of God? We know that she lived at a similar time to Jonah. And we know for a fact that he knew the writings of the law and the Psalms. When he was at the very lowest point, in a desperate and apparently hopeless situation, in the belly of a great fish, he prayed. And in that prayer, he quoted several phrases which are found in the Psalms. And in chapter 4 of his book, he quoted from the book of Numbers and from the Psalms. Therefore, it is reasonable to suppose that this little maid that faith had been imparted from the writings of Moses and the Psalms, which she would have learned at home. And they probably encouraged her, as they encouraged Jonah in his predicament. It was interesting that Alan gave us a selection of readings from the Psalms this morning, and that was very appropriate, because the Psalms in particular are a tremendous resource that God has provided for us. Dr. James Sidlow Baxter said this about the Psalms. He said, "Here the tempted and tested find fortitude from the pilgrims of yesterday whose feet bled along the same thorny path." He said, "Here in the Psalms, the suffering and the sorrowing find sympathy which takes the bitterness out of their tears." He said, "Here the persecuted and forsaken find reassurance in their time of need." And finally, he said, "Here in the Psalms, penitent sinners find the words that suit their broken and contrite hearts." When it came to witnessing to Naaman, it is quite possible that our little maid remembered Psalm 103, verses 2 to 4. Sorry, let's go back. I'll go on from that. Right, from Psalm 103, verses 2 to 4. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." It's wonderful, isn't it, to realize that over 2,800 years ago, both Jonah and this little girl could have drawn strength from the Psalms, and that we can do the same today because it's the living word of God. It's as alive today as it was 2,800 years ago. And every experience of the soul is expressed in that book. And God has given it to us as a wonderful resource in times of need, whatever our needs are. True faith takes risks. And our little girl took a huge risk in telling a desperate man who had the power of life and death over her that there was a remedy for his disease, and it was to be found in a prophet in Israel. Let's face it, from the reaction of the king of Israel when Naaman made his request known, this little girl's words could have started a war. But it's also wonderful to see that when Naaman arrived with his horses and chariots and all his entourage at Elisha's door, Elisha didn't say, "She said what?" No. Rather, he confirmed her faith, didn't he? Time forbids me from saying much more about this little girl's faith. However, we've not finished yet, because so far she's shown us the Christian virtues of fortitude, forgiveness, and faith. The fourth point I want to make is the greatest of them all. Just click on. Somewhere we've lost. Yeah, we've lost a slide, but anyway. Okay. John Wesley said that she showed great compassion and love. John Wesley said that Christian love is like flying a kite. The stronger the contrary wind, the higher it flies. And certainly, very strong contrary winds were blowing in this, through this little girl's life. Now, we have a 9-year-old granddaughter called Natanya. A little while ago, a rather concerned school principal asked my daughter, who's also the school secretary, "What do Christians believe about taking revenge?" It turned out that Natanya had had a bit of a falling out with one of her classmates and said to her, "I'm going to heap coals of fire on your head." So you can understand the principal's concern, can't you? Of course, what our granddaughter was thinking about was a passage in Romans 12 where Paul says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Don't seek revenge. Don't be angry. Leave the vengeance to God. Rather, do good to your enemy. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on their head." Well, and that's what the little girl did. She was wonderful. As the video showed so well, when Naaman said to her, "I am impressed with how you serve me in the face of all that's happened to you," she incredibly goes a huge step further and says to her mistress with love and compassion in her heart, "If only, can you get that? If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria," and in the scripture there's an exclamation mark after that, "if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." In those few words, you hear not only forgiveness and faith, but compassion and love. Jesus said, "A good person out of the good treasure in their heart brings forth good." There was no hint of bitterness or hatred in her heart. This is mind-blowing stuff, isn't it? 800 years before Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, she practiced what he preached. She showed love to her enemy. She did good to the one who had destroyed every good thing that she had ever known by showing the type of compassion and love that is truly a fruit of the Holy Spirit. She sets any of us who claim to be Christians a tremendous example and a challenge. I wonder how any of us would have reacted if we'd been hurt as badly as she had been. It really is only when we're tested that we learn what is in us. If we've been truly born again and are seeking to be in tune with the Lord by following the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then when the crunch comes, what we are will be revealed. As Jesus said, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." This little girl truly did show Christ-like love to the person who hurt her and reached out to give him the greatest blessing he could ever know. So, in conclusion, what about Naaman himself? Well, I'm certain that many sermons have been written around him, but just consider this. Through a child's faith and love, he was wonderfully healed and became a changed man. And we're told that God's blessing was pressed down and overflowing, for his flesh became like the flesh of a little child. As a result, he turned away from his former idolatry and became a dedicated worshipper of the God of Israel, all through the witness of a little girl who lived an extraordinary life. When we hear of Naaman that his flesh became like that of a little child, it reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew 18. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Life's experiences can leave us wounded and hardened and no longer childlike. Like in the way that we know a Christian should be. If we feel like that, then let's realize that the same God who healed Naaman can restore and revive people like us even today, even here and now. This little girl set us a remarkable example. She showed great forgiveness and fortitude. She didn't give up when the going got tough. She showed great faith, never backing down in her belief that God would heal Naaman, though failure could have spelled disaster. She showed great love and compassion to someone who was her enemy and had done her great harm. She showed us, long before Christ came, what it means to be a Christian. Many years ago, I was told never to preach a sermon unless it meant something to me. As I've prepared this sermon, God has challenged me. And I've had to ask myself, what does it mean for me to be a Christian? Hopefully you too have been challenged as we thought about this little girl. To conclude, we're going to play a gospel song sung by jazz singer Mahalia Jackson. As we listen, let's think not only of Naaman's little maid, because the words are very appropriate, but also of ourselves and ask ourselves, what sort of Christians do we want to be? Do we want to be ones who display fortitude, forgiveness, faith, and above all, compassion and love? Or are we content to be something else?